It's that time, Friar Faithful. Time to discuss everything going on with the Padres. We've gathered the entire 97.3 The Fan crew together to bring you the most in-depth discussion on the Friars in our weekly Padres Roundtable, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. Alongside Stephen Woods, Craig Elston, Chris Ello, and Sam Levitt, here's your host, Annie Heilbrun.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome on into the Padres Roundtable, presented by Roundtable Pizza. It's pizza royalty. Grab a chair, get comfy for 1 hour of uninterrupted, commercial-free Padres talk here on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's number one sports station. I'm Annie Heilbrun, taking the place of Ben Higgins today, who is hopefully enjoying himself on his golf excursion. But we have the other half of Ben and Woods. Some might say the better half.
Some may say the worst half, too. Yeah, depends Stephen on Woods. Who you ask. Thank you.
At least with Ben not here today, they couldn't dress alike.
That's exactly right.
This is true. Olive green shirts.
He is on his way to L.A. for a much-needed 140 holes of golf, I think, in the next 5 days. Yeah, it's much-needed.
Well, we wish him well.
Yeah. He's also celebrating his 20-year anniversary on television.
Sure is.
Yes.
We should send out a happy anniversary to him.
He may be listening.
You do the telegrams. You should be doing
that. Yeah, you do the singing telegrams.
Stop.
Great idea.
Your memory, Annie.
The other half of Annie and Elston, Craig Elston. How are you, Craig?
I'm still right here just enjoying the crossfire. It's all good.
And, of course, our resident contrarian, Chris Ello of Gwyn and Chris.
You'll wear it.
It's good to be here.
Guilty.
And making a feature appearance, our pre- and post-game show host, Padres pre- and post, Sam Levitt. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing well. They got me here on the off day. I see we still haven't figured out the pizza situation of getting it before
the
show.
It's here to tantalize.
Can't eat it.
You can smell it.
You can jump up anytime and grab a slice if you'd like.
I already had two.
It's sitting right over there. Why, you don't want to eat on camera?
I'm happy to eat on camera.
That's what I thought. You're a good New York guy. You know about pizza.
All right, let's take a look at what
happened. By the way, delicious pizza, I should
delicious
say.
Delicious pizza. Presented by Roundtable Pizza. It's pizza royalty. Let's take a look at what happened since the last time we were sitting in these seats just a week ago. Padres went 2-4. They have lost 7 of their last 13. They slipped in the standings by just a little bit last night from the first wild card spot to the second, a half game behind the Arizona Diamondbacks. Mets 1.5 back. The Braves are looking up. I was going to go with the confidence meter. Let's crank up the confidence meter. But I was listening to Woods and Paul this morning, and I like the panic meter better.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with the panic meter. Scale of 1 to 10. 1 being no panic at all. 10 being I can't sleep at night. I'm tearing my hair out. Where are you at with whether the Padres will make it to the postseason? Let's start over here with good old Sam Levitt.
Panic meter. I'll put it at, and I think this is what you said, Woods, this morning, and I'll agree with you. I'll put it at a 4. I think 5 says you're midway to panicking. I don't know that I'm midway. I keep reading everybody put together these charts of, well, if the Padres do this, this team has to do this for them not to be in the postseason. If this team does this, so on and so on. You know what cures all of that? The Padres just winning baseball games. And then the rest of that doesn't matter. Look, there's no doubt about it. They have cooled down since getting off to the electric start to the second half. They've hovered around 500 now for a few weeks. That's okay. They weren't going to keep that pace that they started the second half at.
Yes.
But now with a handful of series left and as tight as this thing is getting, they've got to turn it on a little bit, because when we talk about all those charts and everybody writing, if this team does this, then the Padres need to do this. You don't play well, then those charts come into question.
Yep.
Then we really start looking at them. You play relatively well, you should be fine. They've got to kick it into gear a little bit. So I believe this team can, and that is why I put the panic meter at 4. I think going to midway would be a little bit over the top for me, considering right now they're in that number 2 spot as of this morning with a little bit of cushion.
Yeah. Chris, where's your panic meter?
Well, yeah, you know me. Well, first of all, if you look at my hair, then you'd think I'm at a 10, because you said pull all your hair out if you're a 10. So, but I'm at a 0.
Fair.
Maybe zero.
Zero panic?
Yeah, zero.
You're the one who put me in a panic last week.
Well, you're right. You know, what happened was baseball.
Yes.
That's what happened to them. I don't think they've actually played awful baseball. They just finally lost some games. And so it's tightened up. They got me panicked enough to where I had to go look at the Mets and the Braves remaining schedule today.
All right, let's have at least a one or two.
So I at least looked at their remaining schedule and it made me feel a little better. The Mets still play the Braves, which is a series
the
where the Padres can hopefully gain some ground somewhere. They play the Phillies twice, the Mets do. They also play the Brewers once. Mm-hmm. So they've got a pretty tough ride. But the Padres have Astros, Dodgers, Diamondbacks all coming up. But I just think they're going to steady and be fine here. I don't see any collapse here with 3 weeks to go. They've got too good a pitching staff, too good a bullpen, too good of everything that we talked about last week. So it was ironic that on a day that we basically celebrated their birth in the World Series on this roundtable, Suarez gives up the grand slam. As I'm walking out of the stadium after the game, some guy comes up to me and he goes, "You might want to get everybody together for an emergency session of the roundtable tomorrow after what just happened." So, yeah, it's crazy baseball is, but I still like. I mean, three teams have to all beat them,
right?
And I just think that 0-1 is my panic.
Okay, well, I largely agree with both of these guys, and I would set my number at 2.5.
Wow, am I going to be the highest?
Yeah, you're scared over there.
But I want to also offer this, which is that talking about the schedules this weekend, and we've talked about it on the show every day, Annie, this weekend is the weekend the Padres are supposed to solidify their position in the playoffs. And that's where my number is, where it's at. They go beat San Francisco. You've got the Mets in Philadelphia. You've got Atlanta playing the Dodgers. Arizona, I think, has Milwaukee. And it's a beautiful, beautiful chance to establish yourself back in that top spot, maybe even get a game and a half up. If you stumble this weekend, I guarantee you on Monday's show my panic level will be 5.5, 6.
Yeah, so, and mine hits big. Mine
with
really
the Astros coming in.
Right.
It's Astros, then White Sox, right? Yeah. For me, it was last night watching the game, and I was funny because we had talked about the show yesterday. I said, I've been really calm this year. I have a lot of belief, and I still do. But last night's is the first time in 140 games or whatever that I've actually snapped a little bit at, like, my kids at bedtime. This whole season, I've been like, okay, let's go. Teeth brush, come on. Because, it was a perfect game. And so my chest started to have that tight feeling, you know, the feeling that I felt so much last year. Last night was the first time, and watching them just not be able to do anything against a really good pitcher, by the way, who was phenomenal. Brian Wu was incredible.
Yeah.
But it was that, oh God, they're going to get a perfect game or a no-hitter against them. When we need this game, we need these games, we need to be playing better. First time I snapped to my kids all year at bedtime, so it put me at a 4 last night, and it's really based on just last night's performance.
Yeah, I'm going to join you guys up in the 3-4 range, only because baseball. I think that the Padres getting jumped by three teams and not making it is unlikely because of just all the attributes that they've had that have shown their fans and all of us how well that they've played this year, but these other teams are playing well too, and you just never know, right? So it's not a 5, right? But we're all kind of, except for Elo, I guess, maybe wondering how it's going to go a little
easy
bit.
Breezy
here.
Elo.
Yeah. Chill, chill, Chris.
Here's part of my reasoning. This is because my vacation coincides with the last 2 weeks of the season.
Oh, hey,
so I will be cruising.
Oh my God!
And I will be letting you guys sweat it out every day and night while I'm just.
And he'll have
to
left
chill.
Us with a 0-1 panic level.
How did you? How did you swing that?
And if they don't make it, I just won't come back.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's fair.
It's a story, Lindsay. Oh. It's a story.
Well, another topic that's been a little bit of a uncertainty, a little bit, is the starting rotation, right? We saw Yu Darvish make his second start since coming off the injured list. Looked a little bit more like himself. Michael King has been doing great for the Padres. Joe Musgrove off the IL, too, has been doing great, but had that one 10-minute run, that one weird 10-minute run where he let up 6 runs. And then Dylan Cease, a little wobbly, right? Any concerns, Woodsy, I'll start with you. Any concerns with the starting rotation?
Yeah, I mean, just as a human being, you can't watch it and not be a little bit concerned. I said it last week, and I think I'll stand by it. There's so many times you watch them and you go, my God. I mean, if they're on, who's hitting them? That night, Joe was as good as he'd been. One little switch. You know, one little switch flips. And 6 runs come in. Michael King last night, cruising. Some of the nastiest stuff I've seen, cruising. And then, boom, it happens. So you stop it. I don't know how you alleviate it. But when I look at the stuff of those guys, I watch Yu Darvish spin it the other night. Watch him get himself out of trouble. Watch him dot a fastball, 95, when he needed it the most. It still inspires confidence in me. Playoffs are a crapshoot. They're an absolute crapshoot. But I haven't jumped off. I haven't walked the plank on our starting rotation yet. I love their stuff. Every time I watch them, I continue to be impressed by their stuff. Command is a little bit suspect right now. But other than that, man, I'm still very, very confident. Maybe bullishly, stubbornly confident.
Well, I'll go on the other side of that. I mean, last week when we asked what's our number one concern, I said starting rotation. Nothing that's happened in the week that followed did anything to assuage those concerns. You know, I do agree that Darvish looked better after giving up those two solos. And you need him to be good. Joe Musgrove, you need to be good. And Dylan Cease, who is, I think, the only guy that is guaranteed to get one of the first two playoff starts.
He's like the wobbliest one for me right now.
100, absolutely. Yeah. He's the guy that right now I would feel just like I did in 2022 when Blake Snell took the mound in the playoffs, which is, yeah, he's got good stuff. I have no idea what's going to happen today.
Hope it works.
Yeah, could be good, could be bad, could be both, which is pretty much what it was with Snell in his playoff starts. It was like really rocky start, then got good. And as we talked about on the deep dive yesterday, the guy who's performed the best is the guy I am quite concerned will not be selected.
Yeah, same.
Should the Padres make the first round of the playoffs, and that's Michael King.
Yep.
Who MLB just did a starter power ranking this morning, and he was the 8th rated starter in baseball.
Nasty.
And we're ranking him 4th on our own playoff list.
Hold that thought, because I'll come back. Follow up with a question about the wild card rotation should the Padres get there.
As far as the starting pitching is concerned, I mean, there's always a concern that a guy's going to go out there and have a bad outing. But, I mean, you've got, 16 games left? 15? 15. Day off today, 15 games. Everybody else, I think, has 16. Mm-hmm. So they have 15. Of those 15 games, I think the Padres will send the better starting pitcher on paper to the mound at least 10 times.
Sure.
Will they win all of those games? Of course, we don't know. But that's all you can ask for, is they're going to send a really good guy out there every single time. I was really encouraged by Darvish. I think that's a huge step forward for him. I never worry about Musgrove when it really matters. The only thing that concerns me about King is he seems to get his head down a little bit when an error is made behind him.
Which is a lot, by the way.
Which is a lot. He's given up a lot of unearned runs. You know, sometimes they make an error. You got to pick up your fielders.
Sure.
And he hasn't done that. Cease... Yeah, there's a good comparison to Blake Snell, because you never think he's going to give up a hit, and then all of a sudden balls are flying all over the place.
He shook that for a while this season. Yeah. He shook the Blake Snell comp that was made early, and we all just kind of relaxed and said, oh, it's great. That's off his back, and boy, it's come back. You know,
But I mean, if you send on paper the best guy out there, 10 out of 15, I like how the results should be.
Sure.
Yeah, I think I've...
Hello, Mr. Concerned and Panicked at 4.5 over here. That's you.
You have to break down every postgame.
He
does. Look at all those stats.
Oh, man, welcome to another pregame show. What are we going to do tonight?
I think with the starting pitching, I have a blend of all your answers. I think they just need guys to be a little bit more fine. I mean, and there have been very specific examples of that. Yesterday with King, yes, Cronenworth made a key error. What happens in that inning if he catches the ball and they get one out? But that inning, the rally started with a walk and a hit by pitch. And then King gave up two hits after Cronenworth's error. You talk about Yu Darvish, who is more encouraging, gives up the two early solo home runs. Joe is cruising, everything you guys already mentioned. And then, you know, 7 straight hits against Musgrove out of nowhere. Cease, yes, up and down. They need that great version of Dylan Cease soon. They need him to come back to that version. So I'm not super concerned about the starting pitching. I think they've got some really good options for the final 6 to 15 games. Hopefully those guys are sort of the prime version of themselves in the postseason. If they are, I think this team is incredibly, incredibly dangerous. I'm not all that concerned. Guys, as cliche as it sounds, they just got to be a little bit finer, little bit better. You can't have that blow up of an inning if you're Joe over the weekend. You know, you can't walk and hit a batter. If you're even the bullpen, like Morejon walking the first two later in the game yesterday, they just need to be a little bit more consistent and a little bit finer. But on the whole, I'm not super concerned. I mean, when you talk about 3-4 starters that I think you're pretty confident in running out there in a postseason, I think those guys are going to feel good in.
Yeah, it's interesting. With 15 games left, that's three starts apiece.
Yep. Yeah, it's three turns.
So bear down.
And I mean, in context, you don't want to look at necessarily the other teams. You just want to focus on yourselves. But when you look at the injuries popping up for the Dodgers, even for the Braves.
Diamondbacks last night.
You're just like knocking on wood, too, because it looks pretty good for the Padres in that sense, too, that they're all healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this answer is probably going to change between now and should the Padres make it to the playoffs in October. But let's say they're setting their wild card rotation. I do not suggest you ask Mike Schultz.
I will not be asking that, Adam Klug. I ask it tomorrow.
Yes, he recommended that.
Yeah, find out what his playoff rotation.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you out of your mind?
Yes, he will eat
me for lunch.
He will.
Adam, he is out. Adam, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, you should invite Adam in to ask
just
that
do
question.
It exactly.
Yeah, because right. Ben's out. I could just have right. Adam ask a question.
Mike, we have a guest question.
A guest asker.
Yeah,
it'll be like college game.
Yeah, day. Guest picker.
Yeah.
Mike, guest this question. Is my boss. Here's what he wanted to ask.
Always pass the buck.
But we get to talk about it here on the Padres Roundtable, presented by Roundtable Pizza. It's pizza royalty. Who would you set as, and I'm going to start with Craig here because I know he's thought about this. Right. Who would you set as your starting rotation, assuming they play three games, and what is happening with that fourth player? And shout out to Martin Perez, too, who is having a baby right now, or his wife or girlfriend is, and so on paternity leave. But well, what also happens to Martin if he's not in your starting rotation, that is?
I believe
Craig could go with the lefty. Yeah, you never know.
What I say is what I think, and it's not what I believe the Padres will do.
Yep.
I believe that Michael King should be the number one starter, game one. I think it's Cease game two, and I think it's Musgrove for the money game three. And I don't trust you, Darvish, yet. And does that mean that Darvish winds up in the bullpen in the first round? That doesn't seem right. Feels like Michael King is the guy who's been in the bullpen his whole career, and therefore he should be in the bullpen for us. However, that's putting your most effective starter not on the mound for a must-win 2 of 3, where just losing one really destroys your odds. So that's what I would do. What I believe they will do is they'll start you game one, Cease game two, Musgrove game three.
I agree with Craig 100%, and I think the more I think about it, the way that baseball has always worked since we've watched it and kids watching it, they always go with this is the guy with the most experience, and this is the guy that we trust the most. And it's not always the right answer. And I think you see guys like Bruce Bochy that when they get to October, they do it differently. They manage a little bit differently in October. And he's got four rings that he can – four? Five? Four?
Four.
Yeah, four rings. You do it a little bit differently. And I think, Yu Darvish has been gone most of the season. He's got two starts under his belt since he's been back, and still a few more to prove himself. I'm with you 100%. And it's not like Michael King has earned this. No, I think he's got the best stuff and your best chance to win right now today. I don't put him in my bullpen. He is getting at least one of those first two games. Like, if it's not the first game, it's the second game for Michael King. And not only has he earned it, but I feel like he's your best option.
Sammy?
Yeah, I don't see how King's in the bullpen. Now, maybe, Craig, you end up being right that's what they do, and it certainly could be the case. Michael King, has he been this team's best starter, wire to wire?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yes. Yeah, wire to wire, 100%.
I can't see how he's not slated to start one of those wild card games. Now, what does that mean for somebody else? I don't know. Then you're asking somebody else to go into a role, at least for the wild card series, that they are not particularly accustomed to. And maybe the argument from a Padres standpoint would be, we are not comfortable using another one of our starters in a bullpen role because they haven't done it, and we believe King can do it and do it well and come out of the bullpen and throw five innings. Maybe that's a strategy. I don't know. It's a great question. I really don't know what they're going to do, because to me, like you guys have alluded to, I don't see how Michael King is not potentially your game one starter. And it's an interesting point you bring up, Craig. You know, to have maybe Musgrove as that that game three guy. You know, he's done it before in a huge spot. I think you hope what we saw in that one inning over the weekend was the anomaly with Joe. He's looked really good, and he continues to look really good. I would have no hesitation for him in a winner-take-all game three and have a lot of confidence in him.
I don't know if you guys have done the math, Craig.
Cease has got to be in there.
100%.
In the three, right. I guess he's two.
With 15 games to go, you know, you're half game out of the wild card. You said, you know, everyone's going to get three more turns. Where does it end? Like, in the last day, right. Who has that last...
Where would be King right now? Yeah, it would be King.
He would be the last
game
against the Diamondbacks.
And are you fighting for something in that series?
Right. What are you playing for?
Great point.
How does it all bear out?
Right.
You have to go hard in that series. Right. Or
it would be Musgrove, you, King right now in the final three.
It's such a great point.
And then the wild card.
We're talking about something. Right. And we're talking about something that could kind of get decided depending on how the final week goes and what you need and what you feel is most important to play for.
Correct.
Hopefully you're not just battling to get in, but you could be, right?
So, could be.
And then you got the home field part of it and the seating part of it. So that's a great point that we can talk about this for another hour, but it may be dictated by what happens in the final week.
And all the weeks that Chris will be on his cruise, we will be talking about it, Sammy.
That's a great point.
But since he's here now, Ello.
That's a great point.
I'm looking forward
to it. What's your take?
I bet you are. First of all, I think you guys are all having fun here, but Michael King, I don't think will start in the first round. I think Darvish is a guy they're just going to... They're going to say he's Mr. Reliable.
Right.
And they're going to go there.
It's the way it's always been.
It's always been that way. I would start Musgrove in game one and try to take the first game. I think Musgrove's the best guy. Save 10 minutes. And I think Darvish is in game two. I feel okay if we're down 0-1 that he'll give me an unbelievable effort. And if we can clinch, he may clinch it. And then I'd save the stuff of Dylan Cease for game three. Hopefully I don't need Dylan Cease. I love Michael King too. I don't trust Michael King more than I trust Darvish in a winner take all type playoff start. Something Michael King has been nowhere close to in his career. I think he's fabulous, don't get me wrong. And if Darvish scuffles in the second inning, lovely. Then King's ready to go. But I think it'll be Musgrove, Darvish, Cease. That's my prediction.
It's not terrible. These are good problems to have.
Yes,
you know,
sure.
Certainly.
Agreed. This week we saw Xander Bogaerts move over to shortstop. We saw Donovan Solano enter the lineup, enter the chat on a more regular basis, at least last two games. Is this the ideal lineup? Is this the lineup you want trotted out there headed into the playoffs, or would you change anything? Would you move anything around? And is it the ideal defense, too? Are you happy with the defense that they have now? Oh. Who's ready?
Who's who?
Yeah.
Well,
I better go first
because
my ship's leaving.
That's a great point.
Is it a cruise?
The Uber chimed in right now. Ready to get ready
a really
for you.
Good sounder. That's getting me very fired up.
He just got excited, right? He's ready to put on his light vest.
Are you going on a cruise?
Yes, I am. Where have you been?
Does that mean you won't be here next week?
I won't be here next week.
Unreal.
He's got his turn.
I didn't know that. You just heard a celebration.
No, I didn't know that it was a cruise.
All right, we'll get into it later, Sam.
Yeah, we'll do it for our seventh inning stretch.
I'll be here next week when he's gone, so.
Yeah,
first of all, they can't have their perfect lineup now because I do think Ha-Seong Kim is done for the year. I don't have any medical knowledge of that, but I don't think they would have ever put Bogaerts there if they felt they would have to go back again.
Correct.
And I think that's the reason they didn't put Bogaerts there in the first place. They felt it was going to be temporary. Ha-Seong would come back, and then they'd go from there. So I think that's first. So now that this is it, I think this is great. I'm okay with it. Bogey, you know, he's going to get 3 weeks at shortstop. He's looked okay there so far. I don't know, you know, if Solano gets every start. I think maybe Arise plays in first base and Peralta's the DH against certain right-handers. But it's still a really good lineup. I mean, you know, Fernando's back in it now. And, you know, I have no concerns. Defensively, they could have been a little better. But you know what? They can't now. It's just like asking me if I think Campusano should be in them. I don't know. But he's not here anymore. I don't have time to worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, we got to go with what we have right now, and this is it. And I think it's still pretty good.
Xander Bogaerts said earlier this week when he moved that ultimately, if you don't have Ha-Sung Kim out there, Mason McCoy is your best defender, right? But you got to get Donovan Solano into that lineup. You need to get the bats. They need to win games. Is there any world in which you want that defense to take precedent over getting those other bats that you would put Mason McCoy in there?
In the seventh inning and beyond, okay, really. Yes. I mean, that's it. If you can hold a lead and have a lead, sure, absolutely. Make your switches as you need to do, which Mike Schilt has done. I mean, you know, we know how much he values defense, and I love that about Mike Schilt, because preventing runs is a big part of the game too. And but also, you have to score, and Donovan Solano, the ABs, I mean, somebody made the point on Twitter, and I just loved it. It was just very basic. It was said, imagine you're a pitcher, and you work your way through the top seven, and you're, whew, all right, a little breather here. Nope, it's Donovan Solano who's going to wear you out. He's going to foul pitches off, and you're going to get two strikes on him. He's going to slice one down the line for a double. And then you got Higashioka, who's got some power after, or Elias Diaz in the nine hole. I mean, it's about as dirty of a lineup as you can get when clicking on all cylinders. So I think you keep those guys around and use them as you see fit for defensive purposes.
Well, Chris said it. You said it all when you said the idealized version of this has Kim at shortstop.
Yeah.
And if you don't have Kim at shortstop, then this is the next best alternative. I'm going, because you just described very well, Steve, how good the lineup is and how balanced and deep it is. Leave it to me to talk about the defense, because it is a three position downgrade making this move.
It absolutely is.
And I believe it had a direct tangible effect on last night's game, because I think that's a double play that gets turned with Kim or McCoy at shortstop and Bogarts at second base. Cronenworth has had his worst defensive season as a second baseman this year. It's been, by the numbers, it's been brutal. Now, did it necessarily look that way all the time? Not necessarily, but then again, we're always giving them the benefit of the doubt, because like, oh, he's in a different position, so therefore. But the difference of first base to me is actually the most tangible of the group. I think Bogarts is a slightly worse shortstop than McCoy, but not dramatically. And therefore, I think Cronenworth is a slightly worse second baseman than Bogarts, but not dramatically. But I think the combination of Solano and Arise is significantly worse than Cronenworth.
Yeah, I agree.
At first base, you lose the height, you lose the stretching ability, you lose the range.
The massive range.
And he's just got such good defensive instincts over there, and I have not seen those from either one of those guys. So I do think we are a better offensive and worst defensive team with this lineup, and however that shakes is how it shakes.
Yeah, and it's wild that, you know, you again, you can only do so much with what you have, right? And to see this now value on offense over defense it was a little jarring. I mean, it really was, but I think it goes to show you just how unproductive the offense was with McCoy in there. And I like Mason a lot, and I feel for him, because it's got to suck, man. You're right there in it, and you are the everyday shortstop, and you got the opportunity. If you can just come through with some productive outs, other, you know, than sack bunts and things like that, which he did a great job with. I mean, he's still in there. If he's just slightly productive, he's still your starting shortstop.
Yeah, yeah. Sam, you know how much Mike Schilt values defense, but at this point, you got to pick your poison, right?
We saw it early on. You remember early in the season when Profar got off to the great start, red hot, and there was a long time there where he was getting subbed for
seventh,
a Zokar early.
Sixth, yeah.
And we kind of talked about it at the time of, man, it seems almost a little early to be bringing in a defensive sub, and that kind of, you know, played itself out because Profar ended up being so, so good offensively that you just couldn't do it anymore. There's no question. I think everybody's right here. To step back defensively, there are some concerns at first base with Solano and Arraez. At the same time, I don't know what the other answer is. I think you have to do it for the offense. I think McCoy wasn't productive enough offensively where you could be in a spot where you could just say, hey, go play great defense, and we don't care what we get out of the spot in the lineup. Solano's way too valuable. Peralta's been really good. One of those guys needs to be in the lineup every day, and I think there's a benefit to that more so than whatever you're losing defensively. And look, the downgrade, like you said, Craig, at shortstop, at second base, even if the metrics on Jake aren't great at second base for whatever reason, is not huge as far as the downgrade. And at first base, there's concern. I don't know that there is a better solution, though. It certainly feels like Salah or Peralta. Okay, go for it.
I have one. Sorry. We're going to be the first team in history based on who's batting. Right-handed hitters, Manny stays at third, Solano at first. Left-handed batters, we're going to move Manny to first.
I would love it.
Put Solano over at third.
Just switch them up. Manny's already done that bit.
No, we used to run him to right field.
Okay. He can play right field. Wherever we need help, just put Manny.
You know what? I said it when it kind of all went down when Ha-Sung Kim got hurt. I said, look, if you're Mason McCoy, come in, play great defense. We don't really care about your offense. Well, it changed pretty quickly. And it was in concert with him performing poorly offensively, but also with who you had on the bench. And we haven't had that here in a while to where it's like, we got to get this guy. When's the last time we had a bench player? We were like, we got to get ABs for this guy.
Summers.
Dude, right? So it wasn't last year. It was Carpenter, Cruz, all these guys. You're like, I don't care if they ever get at bats again. Bob Melvin didn't either. Did not care at all.
Bob Melvin just checked in.
Yeah, he did not care one bit about getting Alfaro, Carpenter. No reps. No reps for those guys. So when you have a guy like Solano that continues to do what he did, he forces their hand into an offensive game instead of a defensive game.
I don't see a scenario, and maybe you guys do, where they would start subbing McCoy in to play shortstop late in games.
I don't, because moving Xander,
everyone has to move around again.
I don't think they're going to move Xander.
And also,
want to move. Right.
Postseason wise, I mean, McCoy is not going to be on the roster, right? So more than likely not. Yeah. So.
But these last 3 weeks, can he play second? Does anybody know?
Because I think he's played different spots. I don't know without looking.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Padres Roundtable here on 97.3 The Fan, San Diego's number one sports station. The Roundtable, of course, presented by Roundtable Pizza. It's pizza royalty. Quick follow-up on that before we get to the seventh inning stretch here. Just quick follow-up. Do you think that Kim is done for the season? Yeah. There's no clarity on whether he is or not. And if he is not done, do you shake things up? Going into the postseason, do you move things back around?
Well, you know, that's what I was just thinking about at the tail end of the last question is like, just what happens if he turns up at the start of the LA series in the last week?
Comes knocking on the door.
Ready to go.
Hey, no, look, I'm good. I'm ready to go. You know, I've got that. He got the rookie of the year shoulder.
Yeah.
Now, you know, now he's,
stranger things have happened.
Now he's good to go. Well, I mean, honestly, I would try and slide it all back. Yep. Then you're doing it in the biggest week of the year. So, and you're asking him to come in probably cold and out of tempo, and that means you're moving your catcher up to eight now. So honestly, I agree with the first thing said. Once this move was made, I figured this is a move for the rest of the year and the playoffs. And Kim coming back is almost like, dude, are you sure that shoulder's okay? Maybe it's still bad.
Yeah, it's you know, if you read between the lines, and you know they. We always talk about injuries and what they tell us and what they don't tell us, and they're under no obligation to tell us what exactly they feel about any player. That they're just not. As much as we want them to be, they're not. But if you read the tea leaves, as Ben likes to say, it says very pretty clearly he's not coming back with Xander sliding over full time. He's going to be in there tonight at short. I don't think they're going to mix and match too much more the last 3 weeks of the season, as long as everybody stays healthy.
But Sammy told me that on a couple of pregame shows between now and the end of the season, when the team is home, he's going to lead a chant of Ha-Sung Kim
for the fans
who are missing it.
He's going to be missed, no doubt.
He will.
Ha-Sung Kim will be.
Yeah. Well, you've seen it. I mean, be careful what you wish for. If you didn't like Ha-Sung Kim, you've seen it the last few weeks.
Speaking of someone who might be missed by some as well, and I want to start with you here, Sammy, because you got to know Luis Campusano throughout his time at spring training, too, and the fact that this spring training, he was the number one catcher, right? Like, he was the guy that was supposed to step up this season, and Kyle Higashioka would be second to him. Gets hurt. Kyle Higashioka kind of Wally Pips a little bit, right, and earns the trust of this pitching staff and starts hitting out of his mind. Do you agree with this move to send Luis Campusano to El Paso? And is Elias Diaz, is that the last that we're seeing of Luis Campusano?
I don't think it's the last we're seeing of Luis Campusano. I mean, if we're going to play this out into next season, and we've got a lot to cover before then, mean, Kyle Higashioka is a free agent at the end of the year. So we truly have no idea what the catching position is going to look like heading into next year. And you mentioned the deal with the option situation for Luis. So it sounds like he will be part of the organization next year. So, no, I don't believe we've necessarily seen the last of Luis Campusano in a Padres uniform. I do think it was the right move, though. I think you brought Elias Diaz in for a reason. He's a veteran. He's a good defender. When he's got a few at-bats, he's hit the ball hard a couple of times, has some pop, he can hit home runs. And I think with Campusano, unfortunately, you didn't see enough there for a while now on both ends, offensively and defensively. Look, I was, and I think a lot of us were, I was very, very high on Luis coming into the season because I felt like he showed such a mature approach at the plate last year. Had power, had shown progress defensively, and obviously offensively, he really had not hit very much for a while. Defensively, I mean, you could just see it, a lot of wild pitches, passed balls, some issues behind the plate in that sense. So I don't think it's very surprising based on what we've watched, but I don't think it's necessarily the last of Luis Campusano in a Padre uniform. We'll see how it plays out, but I think it was the right move with Diaz here. Now you've got a real, you know, veteran catching duo, and I think Higgy's going to play most of the time, and Diaz will get some starts, I'm sure, in the final 15 games as well.
I know you look at this, too, from knowing Luis Campusano and how hard he has worked to get to this point, but Sam's points are correct. I mean, you can't ignore the facts, and also Mike Schilt really valuing defense. Do you think this is the end of the road for Luis Campusano as a Padre, or do you think we see him again this season, even?
I don't think we see him again this season. It's a cold business, certainly, and it is a business. I mean, we saw what happened to Jason Hayward a few weeks ago. It's the biggest home run of the year for the Dodgers the next day. See you later, bud. On your way to a new team. And Luis Campusano, watching him play defense this year, it just progressively worse. And one of the worst defensive catchers in baseball. I mean, the numbers say it. The eyes tell you everything. It all matches up. Personally, I'm bummed for him. I know how much he's overcome. And you know, with his mental health and everything, this will take a toll on that, certainly. And it can't be a good feeling. And if you read Mike Schilt's quotes, didn't sound like it was a really fun meeting to be a part of. Yeah. And I do feel for him in that sense. But, you know, as the business of baseball goes, I think it was a move that absolutely had to be made. And to be honest, like, it's a little anti-Padres kind of move, right? I mean, they're clearly, like, going for it. No, there's no more free rides to anyone. And we've seen a lot of free rides handed out over the years. And this one was like, we got to make a business decision. And they made it.
Yeah. I called for this last week on the round table and said that Campy shouldn't start any more games this year. And he started one more.
He had maybe his worst night that night, I think, as well. Like the night you said it.
He started one more. His defense had become untenable.
Yeah.
It got beyond bad to literally affecting every single game that he was in. This is the biggest miss I've had on air so far, being a full-timer on 97.3 in the beginning of the year. I thought he could contend for a National League All-Star slot based on the weakness of the position overall in the league and the way that he hit at the end of last year. He really regressed offensively beyond just the defensive situation. Offensively, it was which stance am I in and what's going on. A lot of wild chase in his game. But I think Diaz has a chance to be a really important player for this team.
100%.
And I'm very hopeful that he is given at least six of these last 15 starts, if not seven or eight. Not eight, but, you know, six or seven. Because, by the way, Higashioka's three for his last 18.
Yep,
Nothing's promised with Kyle either, and it's the end of a long season for him. So I feel like Diaz is the freshest catcher in the system.
No question.
Any concerns throwing Diaz in there with a new pitching staff?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Higashioka taught him everything he needed to know that first
night. That one night, yeah.
Remember?
Right.
Yeah,
when
he
put it up here. Diaz is a pro, and I like the way he's hit the ball. I've always liked him, you know, even in Colorado. But just for Campusano, it was a bit of a wrenching of his stomach to hear this. I feel so bad. I don't know him the way you guys do. But hearing and reading about him and just knowing that this guy was ticketed to hit 290 this year, push for the All-Stars, and probably bat sixth in the lineup, fifth or sixth. Go back to April. That's about where they started him. And he also hit pretty well in April and into parts of May. But it's just been a slow deterioration. For me, it's been sad to watch it a little bit. The only way he'll come back this year is if somebody tweaks a, you know, gets hurt, and then they have to go back to him. But you said something last week, and I tried to quote you on my show yesterday, and I boggled it up. You said it's not a sports friend.
Not show friends.
Show friends. It's business. Show business. Thank you. Can you write that down so I can use it properly next time?
I got that from Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, it's good.
It ain't show friends. Yeah. It's show business.
And so, and I like what you said. The Padres are just, that's it this year. Yeah. We're not taking anything. I'll be honest with you. I said Musgrove starts game one. If he gives up 10 runs in his last three starts, he's not.
That's true.
They're not going to just roll him out there because he's a good guy. They're going to pick the best guy they can right now.
I do feel that way, and I feel like that's been more like we've seen from championship-caliber teams, more business, less feelings involved this year. And you know, but again, the guys that they brought in, they've all contributed, you know, and the guys that they brought in have actually helped kind of push some of the other guys out, you know, because of their play when they got the opportunity.
And to your guys' point, you know, look – yeah, I also feel terrible for the person, right? It stinks. I mean, I can't imagine what it feels like, and you can put Waldron in this conversation too.
I did. It was terrible.
To be with the team all year, and you get to mid-September.
To be so good, too, for such a long stretch.
Hold it together, rotation.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm sure it's really hard for those guys. Yeah. So I feel for them in that sense, but it's show business.
It's a little bit of Bobby Knight. Do you remember Bobby Knight's famous line? The greatest motivator is your behind on that bench.
Yeah.
And that Padres, to me, have used that philosophy this year. They haven't outwardly said so. But if you don't perform, they're going to go try to find somebody else who will.
Yeah, and I'm sure, and I'm sure Campy will be part of whatever taxi squad there is. I'm sure he is going to be, whether it's Arizona or wherever, staying fresh, right? Because you need those guys in the postseason, and stuff happens, right? Will we see him in a Padre uniform again this season? Yeah, stuff happens. Now, you don't wish it on anybody, but you know, you never know. Yep. So
yeah, as Ella says, it's baseball, and you know that same mentality that is of, hey, we got to get the best player in there, and competition obviously does push people, right? Is why he's so aggressive with the bullpen. It's for Mike Schilt right now, it is you want to be playing these games. You want to be out there. You want to be putting your best guys on the field. So it all kind of goes under that same umbrella. You're listening to the Padres Roundtable here on 97.3 The Fan. We are getting through the roundtable into the seventh inning stretch as it is presented by Roundtable Pizza. This is Pizza Royalty. All right, seventh inning stretch. As much as I want to just talk about Ello's Cruz, The Athletic put out a piece last week on baseball slang, baseball terminology, and had a great look at some of the words that if you don't know baseball and you hear some of these words, you're like, what are they talking about? Like this, I didn't even know blow. I learned that one this year. But I didn't know blow. I want to know your favorite baseball word, your favorite baseball term. It's going to be draft style, so you can't pick the person before you. I want to pick so bad, but I know someone's going to take mine, so I will hold it. Favorite one. Who wants to go first?
Sammy?
I'm not ready.
My favorite, I know my answer. Now, I'm going to admit, I have no idea why this is the phrase for this particular thing. So I don't know why, so if there's some sort of innuendo somewhere, I have no idea. But for a rain out, bang it.
Bang it.
Bang it. Bang it.
Just bang it.
Now, in the minor leagues, I mean, first sign of rain, tarp goes on, bang it.
100%.
So that's my favorite. I feel it's one that gets said all the time.
I love it.
Especially in the minor leagues. Like, we were there. It's not like the major leagues where it's like, oh, hey, we'll wait around 3 hours. It's like,
bang it.
Just bang it.
Yeah, we can go get dinner. Yep. You know, go out, have a nice night. Bang it.
There's so many incredible descriptive words and phrases for Major League Baseball, and I'll just use duck snort.
Duck snort's a great one.
How about a little duck snort? You know, and how
really, you can feel the ball that's lobbed over the shortstop's head and just falls into an open pitch of grass in front of a left fielder that's scrambling in with nothing he can do. And what the heck did you do with that ball? Grown man hit that ball, and there it went. Little duck snort over the top of the shortstop.
And one that no one else, if you don't follow baseball, would know.
Right.
What is
no
a duck
idea.
Snort? Right.
Mine's probably, you can use it a couple different ways, but I like dotted. Dotted. Yeah, like, he just got dotted. Like, dotted on the butt. Yes. Castellanos got dotted. But also, fastball, dotted. I've always loved that phrase. Now, there's a million of them. Eyewash is a great one.
Eyewash is great my favorite.
It's so
yeah, that's Annie's.
It's
eyewash.
So good.
Eyewash
so
is my
good.
Favorite, which is false hustle.
Yeah.
Someone's out there getting extra reps in, showing up, just kind of out there to be seen.
Rudy.
And,
like Rudy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, a little false hustle.
Yep.
Hello, you're struggling with this one.
Yeah, I don't have one. You guys,
come on. Yes, you do.
How about can of corn?
Can of corn is one.
That's easy. Yeah. Did you know where that came from, Sam?
No, I have no idea.
It did actually came from the old days where in supermarkets you had to use a big
general store. The old general store.
That's right.
The old general store.
We kept the corn on the top shelf.
Tip the can of corn off the top of it and then catch it.
In the apron. You'd catch it in your apron. It was an easy catch.
Can of corn.
Apron, thank you. I don't know.
Come on.
I'm serious.
You got one.
I don't have one.
You
I'm
call,
embarrassed.
Don't you call some baseball? And
yeah, but I always just was straight up.
Well, then okay. I'll go. Can I go twice?
You're all busy.
Yeah, can I go twice?
Because
I
remember. Mine.
No, here's one. And you and I used to work with Coach Tony Gwynn pretty extensively. I remember. I think you were there too. But I remember being in his office at the end of a season, talking about his pitching plans for the next year. And he was excited because he goes, next year, we're going to have some dudes.
Dudes. Oh, it's
this
a
year,
huge one.
This year,
guys.
We've just got guys.
Right.
This year, we've got guys. Next year, we're going to have dudes. And I was like, guys and dudes. Got it.
I was talking to, we were at spring training. Chris Kemp was, we were watching Ethan Salas, and he just put his arm around me. He goes, that kid's a dude.
Yeah.
And I just knew exactly what he meant. And I go, yeah, he is. He's a dude.
It's so perfect. Okay. Well, if you think of one, Ella, we'll leave the
I'll
floor open
in.
For you. Okay. We'll just chime in, right? You're listening to the Padres Roundtable right here on 97.3 The Fan, presented by Roundtable Pizza. It's pizza royalty. Let's get into some wild card talk. If the Padres should make it to the playoffs, it's looking like they will. They are in a playoff spot right now. What is the most dangerous team for them to face right now? So you've got the Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Brewers, Phillies, Braves, and Mets.
Yeah.
Which team would concern you most with them meeting in the wild card race?
They're all going to give me, they're all going to put me in the grave. I mean, there's nothing better or worse than playoff baseball. Nothing. It's the best day of your life. It's also simultaneously the worst day of your life. You can't watch. I can barely watch when the Padres are on defense. I can barely watch. Right? Offense, fine. I'm cruising. I'm relaxed. I'm making a sandwich. When they go on defense, I am in the bathroom. I'm walking around the house. I don't want to see. It's just the most excruciating thing. I know the Diamondbacks come back down a little bit, but you look at them, and when they're putting up such big offensive numbers, and they're getting contributions from Pavin Smith and Randall Grichuk, and Eugenio Suarez is turned into Willie Mays, and you're looking going, what in the world is happening with these guys? And you're like, we match up better. Their bullpen is disgusting, and it's just they scare the crap out of me. They really do. All $150 million of them, whatever they spent, they scare me to death. They really do. But they all do. Every one of those teams is terrifying.
Eugenio Suarez has turned into Willie Mays. Is the first time that sentence has ever been uttered in the English language.
All he does is hit barrels. That's all he does.
The Spanish language, though, lately.
Yeah,
it's the Venezuelan language.
It's all he does is barrel the baseball.
By the way,
just like Willie Mays.
The Mariners could use him.
Oh,
yeah,
they God.
How about that?
Yeah, they could.
Imagine trading him away, and then your offense is as bad as their offense has been.
Right? I know.
Well, I don't think the Diamondbacks are our worst matchup. They are certainly the best offense in baseball. There's no question about that. And, you're not loving going against Zach Gallen in a game one. And then, who knows, maybe the lefty Rodriguez in game two. But their bullpen is, come on. I'm not.
Ginkle and.
They've given up a zillion runs. I'm not. Them and the Dodgers are two bullpens I'm not worried about. I'm going to.
The team that is statistically maybe less likely to make it is the one I'm most worried about facing, and that is the New York Mets. A team that has owned us, eaten our lunch, done it in both series. Did you know, and I double-checked this to make sure because I don't want to spread false information, the Mets have not lost a series to a National League team since June. They're 10-0-7 in that run. They are... Lindor is playing at the absolute top of his range, but Mark Vientos is hitting at the as a top 10 hitter in big league baseball right now. Their defense is good. They've got it all going
together. Doesn't their bullpen, isn't it? It's wishy-washy.
Diaz at the back. Yeah, I mean, I know we beat him once. Yeah. You know, they are a scary matchup to me.
It's all deadly, man. All of them are deadly.
All of them are tough matchups to me, and obviously if you face any of the best teams as the sixth seed, you know, I think a lot of people are going, oh, Milwaukee, no problem.
Milwaukee.
It might be the Dodgers in the three seed, for all you know, as well as Milwaukee's been going. But I'll go ahead and put my chip in the Mets.
I'm still trying to come up with a phrase.
With the word?
You know, I honestly think the Phillies, I guess, they're the toughest one. I don't want to run into them. I still think they're the best overall squad. I agree with Craig. The one that scares me the least at the moment is the Dodgers.
Knock on wood.
They have I know, because they're the Dodgers.
Tommy Edman is playing out of his mind.
Yeah, right.
Now.
Tommy Edman pitched to him at the moment.
It's tough.
But, God, their starting rotation is in tatters.
And their bullpen.
Their bullpen is in worse shape than that. Mm-hmm. I know they can outscore you, but can they outscore us in a playoff series with our pitching and bullpen? The Dodgers are just scary because the name on the page says Dodgers, but... they seem like a shell of that team. The Braves are kind of the same. So those are the two scariest teams at the beginning of the season. I think they're the least scary now. But I think the Phillies are definitely the one, and the Mets have had our number. So
yeah. I think the most scary team to me right now is the team that I think scares you the least on paper. And I agree with Craig. It's the Mets. I have been waiting for them to cool down, and it's just not happening. And you look at some of the elements of their team, throwing David Peterson out there. Sean Manaea has been unbelievable. Some of the names in the rotation, Severino's had a great year, but it's not overpowering. It's not names that make you go, wow.
There's not a game that if you play the Mets, you won't have the better starting pitcher.
Correct. But... they just keep winning, like yesterday, winning that game. They're getting no hit in the ninth inning. Lindor hits a home run to tie it. They score six runs in the ninth inning to win the game. Just from the team playing the hottest at the right time, and they've been hot for a while.
But as of last week, we were that team. The Mets The Mets roundtable people were sitting around last week.
Talking about the Padres.
And talking about the Padres.
Yeah. So
it could change two more times before
they brought to you by Bronx Pizza.
That's right.
Yeah, I think they would scare me the most, not on paper. I mean, if we're just talking about paper matchups and not taking into account how a team is playing or just sort of the little kind of magic to them towards the end of the year. Yeah, I mean, I you know, there are some tough matchups. I mean, Arizona with a guy like Gallen and, you know, Merrill Kelly at the top of their rotation. And then you've got, look, the Dodgers, even though their rotation has been banged up, Yamamoto looked really good the other night. If he gets back to kind of full strength and stretched out,
if
Glasnow's healthy, I'm just saying you only need a few.
Yeah.
So they get it right and they all of a sudden, you know, you feel maybe a little differently about them. And the Braves with Sale, I mean, who wants to face him in a game one or a game two? And, you know, Milwaukee's really interesting. Nobody's talking about them because they've controlled the division all year. They've been kind of a boring story, right? So we're not even focused on Milwaukee. And then obviously you have, you know, Philadelphia, who's a great team.
Juggernaut.
Been there, done that. So
potential.
I would just say from the kind of can't figure them out. How are they doing this? Are we looking at a Diamondbacks of last year potential type thing? I'd say the Mets, to me, are scary.
The big one for the Mets, really, so it's the Mets that have to face the Phillies
seven times.
That's
also the Phillies that have to face the Mets.
That's true.
Right,
yeah.
Seven times. Oh.
Man, that's going to be great. This is such a fun time of year if your team's in it. There's just nothing like
they're in it.
If they're in it,
and they win.
And they make it.
Yeah, and then they win.
How different is this from, like, you know, 10 years ago when you were so out of it? I mean, you just knew that the season was over in a week. There, one more homestand left for the Padres, and unless there's playoff baseball at Petco Park. Yep. I mean, it's wild to think about.
Yeah. It's flown by.
Yeah. I really put a premium on on getting to host that wild card series. I mean, I just think for this team, again, can we put a number on it? Is there a metric on it? No. But I don't know. The place, Petco Park, the environment.
We got the best road record in the National League.
I know.
That's true.
We dominate on the road.
Yeah, but it's a three-game. I mean, it's a three-game series.
I agree with you. Who knows?
They did it in 22. You know, they did it. But I'd like to play those games at home. 100%. But again, like, I think we're putting the cart before the horse, whatever the saying is.
That's it.
No, they got to pick up their play.
They got to pick up their play.
To worry about any of that stuff.
Right. I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Right now, it's get in. Like, I'm not even there yet.
Like, the last 30 seconds, do the White Sox scare the rest of you like they scare Craig?
Terrified.
I'm terrified
of it. Well, they're coming in and sweeping us, Craig?
Terrified.
We got to win all three.
You
got to
win all three. You cannot lose.
It's like playing the dang Rockies.
Yeah. You cannot lose a game.
What are you pointing at me for?
Yeah, you know why.
He just can't.
My wife's from Denver. I can't help it.
Well, a lot to look forward to in this week ahead. Like I said, the next homestand for the Padres, the last regular season homestand. And it's what? Astros, White Sox. It's going to be a doozy.
Dodgers,
and then Dodgers, Diamondbacks. I mean, it's really coming to the end here, and it's going to be a fast-paced stretch.
As you said, though, it's a lot more fun than not being in.
No doubt. So, we'll have fun on your cruise. We'll be here holding it down.
You guys let me know how it turns
out. Relax. Right. Rest easy.
When it's all over on that Monday, send me a text, Woodsy. Tell me how we did.
I will.
All right. For Sammy, Chris, Craig, Woodsy, and myself, thank you, everybody, for listening to the Padres Roundtable presented by Roundtable Pizza. It's Pizza Royalty. We'll see you all next week. Have a great day, everybody.